Welcome to the Heart for God podcast. With many years of experience pastoring and helping to start churches, Dr. Jim Townsley has some practical and biblical advice that can be a great help to you and your ministry. On this podcast, Dr. Townsley and other guests with special expertise cover a variety of topics. His goal is to help you lead your church to be a healthy, strong, and balanced ministry, and for your family to be happy, healthy, and living for the Lord.
Welcome to the podcast today. I'm glad you've joined us. I have with me today Pastor Doug Meador. Well, I say pastor because it's pastor for how many years were you there?
Just
thinking.
26 as full-time pastor, 6 before that as assistant pastor.
And he just recently has stepped down as the senior pastor. So he has all this information of when he started and the ministry all those years, and now stepping down and trying to figure out how he can be used of the Lord since. And you just got back from a mission trip, is that right?
Yeah, just got back from Peru, visiting a pastor in Peru and preaching in a couple of places in Peru.
And you were in the Amazon area, as you told me, right?
Well, the Amazon area. In Pucallpa and in Arequipa. But when you say the Amazon area, we weren't in tribal villages. We were in the city, and right outside the city, in one of the neighborhoods, one of the villages, one of the areas where there was a small church, and we did a evangelistic campaign there for a weekend, and it was really unique and really good. So
you were trying to help the church, and they asked you to come and preach. And
yes.
So did you learn anything? Was it valuable to go on this trip?
It's always valuable. And number one, it always makes me aware of how blessed we are, especially in the United States, how blessed we are with everything from our homes, our just the blessings of being in the United States, and our healthcare system. You know, we complain about our healthcare system, but these other countries, they don't have healthcare. There was a young boy over there, probably 7 or 8 years old, that doesn't have a kidney. I mean, his kidney has failed, and they need to remove the kidney, but they can't get the doctors or the hospital to remove the kidney. So this, it's just terrible, the conditions. Yes,
that's awful. Yeah.
But the people came out to hear the word of God, and folks got saved. And so it was a blessing. So.
Well, trips like that certainly make you appreciate what we have here.
Exactly.
In America, that as much as we might complain, then things we just take for granted, and we don't know we take them for granted.
Right.
Really.
Exactly.
Yeah. Now, you were pastor of Lakes Pond Baptist Church in Waterford, Connecticut, for a number of years, and you had a great pastor that you followed, Everett
Hunt.
Exactly.
Exactly.
And he did a great job and built a wonderful church and ministry. It's close to the submarine base.
Yes.
Down in Groton. Now, I know you have some military that come and go from there, too, which is a unique part of any church.
Exactly.
You have military. But I want you to think back now. When you started, there may be some young men listening. What are some things that you might say, I'm glad I did this when I was young? While I was a young pastor, these are some good things that I did.
Number one, I was glad that I had a faithful man of God to follow in his footsteps and learn from him.
Sure.
That was a blessing. I would encourage and challenge young men in the ministry to be careful about who they're following these days. There are faithful men in the ministry that have been faithful and have a faithful testimony and have lived a life and been faithful in the same place for many years. And those are good men to follow.
I'm glad you said that. I like the way you said that. That's so important.
Yeah, because my pastor told me, and I know you know this, Brother Townsley, my pastor told me when you become a pastor of the church, plant your stake. And he said, you know, if you need to, buy a cemetery plot and put a gravestone there and plan to stay there for your life.
Stick through it, good or bad, difficult and trials.
Exactly, because the longer you serve in one place, the more you see the power of God work, but the longevity of a ministry, you see the blessings of God. You see God turn things around, and you see the faithfulness of God of over all the years. And our church, the church where I pastored, was actually started in 1842, and I just continually reminded the people that it started in 1842, and God has kept it going all that time, and he can certainly keep it going for a few more months or a few more years, right? Yeah. So longevity in the ministry, I believe, is important. And I'm thankful. I am really thankful for the men of God in New England that have been there for a long time and many years.
Yeah, amen for that. That's true. There are some good, faithful men that
exactly.
have come, and they've spent their whole life. That's their life,
right, right.
that ministry.
Right.
Gave their life to it.
And a lot of men have been faithful in the ministry, even though their churches have not grown to big numbers, or they've just remained faithful to the Lord where God has put them. And that's what God has asked us to do, and that's what we do.
Yeah, now if I like what you said, that you did right, but maybe there were some things that if you could go back and do it again, do it over, you'd do differently.
There's a lot of things I would do differently. I don't want to really think about those, but I do know this, that you have to understand and be aware you're going to make mistakes. You're going to fail because you're a human being and you're frail. But God is the one that never fails, and he's the one that's faithful. So learn from your mistakes and just be willing to humble yourself and admit your mistakes and just continue on and be faithful.
Well, amen to that. We are at best still just men.
Exactly.
We need God. We need his help. And I think the longer I serve, the more I realize how much we need God, how much we need his help.
Exactly.
So that's really good. I would jump ahead now. So you've gone from early in the ministry all the way to the end of your ministry. You've seen it all the way through. Whenever people get to that point, you don't, as a young man, often think about what then. Now, the day after you, this last Sunday you preached, where did that leave you the next day?
The next day it left me in my house saying, what do I do now? But you know, here's another thing I would encourage you. My pastor before me, from the beginning of his ministry, prayed for who God would follow him. And I think one of the things that we need more of is praying for transition and succession in the ministry.
Absolutely.
And so just pray crucial. That God would bring us men that could follow us, because we've had, my pastor was there for 30 years. I was there for 26 years after him or something like that. And my son went to school. He became the pastor, and the transition was just beautiful. And boy, that's what's needed in churches today. And so pray for, number one, pray for God to bring the person that will follow you so that the church will continue to go on. But then just pray about what the Lord would have you to do and let the Lord lead. I'm thankful that in my position, with my wife and I, that it's such that we can still remain in the church and just be a part of the church and help out.
Yes, that's great.
And that's a blessing too.
Sometimes it's not great.
Exactly. Exactly.
That the transition's not the way it should be.
Well, I do have to ask permission all the time now for to do everything, but but it's still good. So.
And your son was assistant to you or youth pastor for how many years before he assumed the?
I'm not sure how many years, but a number of years.
Several years. Yeah, because I can't believe it. I remember as a teenager, and I'm thinking he's 21 or 22, and he. Yesterday I saw him, and he has a son that's, what, 13?
Yeah, exactly.
And I thought, how did that happen?
I don't know how it happened.
Yeah, so he's grown up, matured, a young man now. So
exactly.
It changes, so you got to think ahead. In that transition, it doesn't start in 1 year or 2 years. It begins many years before, and that's something, even when you're younger, you have to start thinking about that.
Exactly.
Now, the other thing that maybe the last thing we'll have time to talk about is there in the past have been men who gave their life to the ministry. They had very little salary. Sometimes they lived in a parsonage, which was a blessing and a benefit. But they have retired, and they have very, very little to live on. That there was no plan by the church, and there was very little savings because the pastor and his wife, they invested everything into the ministry, and in some cases, men opted out of Social Security, which once they reached that point, they probably realized they made a mistake. But how did you prepare for that? Do you stand now? Because you don't get a salary from the church any longer.
No. Number one, it all goes back to faith and trusting the Lord. We serve the Lord. We faithfully trust the Lord for everything. And we didn't opt out of Social Security.
So you get Social Security.
So we get Social Security.
And your wife's still working to a point.
Well, no, she's
to some degree.
She's on Social Security.
She's volunteering. She volunteers her time. Okay.
So we get Social Security. But God, I have to just say, God has blessed us in many ways by providing us a place to live. And I just have to give it to the Lord that we tried to do our best. We set aside as much as we could, and then God has taken care of us, and it's all by His grace. I can't say it was some specific plan that I had,
okay,
or wisdom that I had.
Yeah,
but God has taken care of us.
Of course, we start the ministry by faith. You know, we came to Connecticut by faith.
Right.
And soon I'm going to be stepping down as the pastor, losing that income. And we're going to retire by faith, you know.
Right, right.
But we did plan many years ago and did very little, but we did something. We
did something.
And I think for a young man, when you start out, it is longevity of time of saving money and investing it over a long period
exactly.
of time. And the other part of it is if there's someone listening to this podcast and you're just a deacon in a church, the church's responsibility
exactly.
should be to put money away. And if he lives in a parsonage, just think about this. You live in a parsonage, then that's a benefit to the pastor. It's a benefit to the church. But there's one thing that is not helpful to the pastor. Everyone owns a home.
Exactly.
It's appreciation for their home. There's 2-4% a year appreciation. And if someone is a member of a church, a leader in a church, hears this podcast, every church should have a plan for their staff that appreciate, if they're in housing provided by the church, they should provide that in money to put away into an IRA or a 403B or
right,
some kind of
right.
retirement plan at that rate. 2-4% of the average home in your community. And it really is not hard if you do it for a long period of time.
Or help them purchase a home.
And they should. They should try to get them a home. And if you have a parsonage, you don't want to leave it vacant, but it could be a mission
right,
home.
Right.
It could be staff housing.
See, so, God enabled us to purchase a home. So we had that. God has enabled my son to already purchase a home. And so we have a parsonage on the property, but we haven't utilized it as ourselves. And so one of the benefits we have as retirement is that we had a home and all the equity in that.
Yes, and I think if it is at all possible, the church should help the pastor buy a home. And it's hard to find candidates when you are missing a pastor.
Right.
And if you want somebody to stay, if they buy a home, they're more likely to stay through the trials and difficulties. So.
And the equity in a home is a great asset.
Oh.
Yeah.
You know, when we came to Southington, we could have bought a raised ranch, brand new, just built, for $28,000.
Yeah.
That was 1975. In 10 years, that same house was $165,000.
It's crazy, isn't it?
So I missed all that equity I could have gained. But the Lord knew that, and he provided for us. And now we have a home that's paid off. But those are things you have to think about when you're young.
Right.
When you're first starting out, putting some money away. And again, you can't trust in your plan. You trust in the Lord, and he'll provide for you. So, well, it's been great to talk with you.
Amen.
Thanks for taking some time for the podcast. I appreciate it. Well, you have a good day today.
Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed the podcast, consider sharing it with a friend. You can also follow at Dr. Townsley on Twitter or on Facebook at Jim Townsley.